Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Okay, everybody, so listen, we're continuing in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi of blessed memory, Robert Solomon. The series is called The Wisdom of Solomon. And so got some different sayings for you today. I got a new one that relates to our message. All right, let me first talk about big things and small things. One of the things that we see is in big things, really big, important, and in small things, if we examine human behavior, y'all, we begin to see a pattern that happens all too often. Illustratively, and starting off quite darkly, after World War II, the very few Nazi concentration camp guards that were put on trial almost uniformly said the same thing. They were just following orders. Some of you know, on a much less weightier topic, a lot of you are sports fans, are familiar with A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, former Major League Baseball player, incredible athlete and home run hitter, remarkable in his day. He's retired now, but of course was known later to be juiced. He was a user of steroids, okay? And he justified his behavior by saying many others were using it also. He was not the only one. That's his justification there. A little more modern, in more recent years, most all of you saw this. My kids and I were talking about this past week. You remember the Academy Awards not too long ago after slapping Chris Rock. Do you remember when Chris, you all saw that? That was nuts. After slapping Chris Rock at the Academy Awards, before taking responsibility for his behavior, which he eventually did, Will Smith first talked about how he was called to protect people. And said, quote, love will make you do crazy things. Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. Exodus chapter 32, please. Exodus 32. Wow, boy. Boy, what all these people are saying. Okay, Exodus chapter 32. We're going to go into the Torah here to start, and we're going to review a time. You know this time. In Israel, where the children of Israel had been released from Egypt after the 10 plagues. They were bad, boy, heavy-duty plagues. The Red Sea had parted, and Israel had come out the other side, and they were in the Sinai Peninsula and went to Mount Sinai, and Moses went up the mountain to receive the commandments of God. And then we'll pick up the story in Exodus 32. Moses is up on the mountain. The children of Israel are below. They're freshly out of Egypt after all the miracles of the 10 plagues and the Red Sea parting. And then we have this, verse 1. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, get up, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. Oh, okay. Now he's just simply this Moses. So Aaron said to them, Break off the golden rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden rings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He received them from their hand and made a molten calf fashioned with a chiseling tool. Then they said, "This is your God, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Oy, Gavalt, come on, everybody. Are you kidding me? Aaron. What are you doing? Are you kidding me? Moses' brother and the first high priest who had Aaron had a front row seat to every miracle of God in Egypt. He had a front row seat, y'all. There was no way that he could have said, "Well, I didn't exactly know what was going on. I was in the balcony." No. He had a front row seat. He was Moses' spokesperson to Pharaoh. He knew exactly what was going on. And he told the children of Israel, bring their golden jewelry, and he formed the golden calf. It's absolutely unreal. It's unconscionable. It's beyond the pale. It's without excuse. It's just absolutely crazy that Moses, this is Moses' brother, Aaron, that Aaron would do such a thing. Jeez. With you talking about some dysfunction in the family. With a brother like Aaron, who needs enemies? Let me tell you something, friends. This is absolutely unreal. God was not pleased, which should come as no surprise to you. God was not pleased. And frankly, Moses was not pleased either. He was not happy. He came off Mount Sinai, Moses did, and he confronted his brother Aaron. And what's interesting is Aaron's response. Aaron's response to Moses is very interesting. First, the first thing he said to Moses, when Moses says, essentially, what in the world is going on? First thing Aaron says, I'm going to translate this into Gen Z, okay? In the words of Gen Z, Aaron said to Moses, chill. Okay, it's not in the Hebrew, it's a translation, you understand. But that's what he said. He said, Moses, don't be angry. Don't be angry, man. Come on. Now that is in the text. Don't be angry. And then Aaron had the audacity to put out this next line. After he told Moses, hey, don't be angry. Chill, Moses. Don't be angry. Then he had the audacity to put this line out. Get ready. It's a doozy. Go down to verse 24, Exodus 32, 24. So here's what Aaron said to Moses, speaking about the children of Israel. Aaron says, so I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Oh, my goodness. That was Jerry Clower. Out came this calf. Wow. Amazing how that happened. Let's face it. The bottom line is that Aaron, come on, he himself was just an innocent victim. It wasn't his fault. He had very little to do with it, actually, right? It was something supernatural. He threw the gold into the fire and poof, out came the golden calf. Wow. Absolutely amazing. Let's face it. It was something that was out of his control, really. I mean, and if, to the extent that he had anything to do with it, he was just really doing what the people wanted. He was just, you know, the people were the ones asking for this anyway. They asked me to do this. Come on, Aaron. Come on. Rabbi Robert used to see this kind of behavior all the time, actually, in people. See, this is something that we look at Aaron and we say, how in the world could he be so brazen to try to pass the buck like this? How in the world could he do it? But Rabbi Robert noticed, and you see it so often in society, people are short to take responsibility, but quick to blame. People are very quick to blame. So one of the things Rabbi Robert used to observe was this, and it's a little bit generational, at least the beginning of it. He used to say this, like Flip Wilson used to say, and I hear variations of it all the time, the devil made me do it. No. The devil didn't make you do it. You did it yourself. That's what Rabbi Robert would say, end quote. Woo. And friends, this is so true today. People are quick to blame. They are quick to blame the devil or fate or others. Blame anything. Blame anything instead of looking within and recognizing that they chose poorly. Because at the end of the day, friends, you have to understand that God gives us a choice. He gives us the free will to choose to follow his voice or not to follow his voice. But yet with too many people, especially in, I think, in America, people love to play the blame game. Woo, people love to play the blame game. Who or what can I blame for something that I did or did not do? People play, we're experts, brothers and sisters, on the blame game. People look to blame, shuck at the responsibility, pass it along to something else, someone else, or even something inanimate. Okay, sadly, friends, you oftentimes see this in marriages. Yeah, even some of the famous marriages of the Bible, whew, man, they had to get into some serious marital counseling. And by that, I'll start with Genesis chapter 3, please. How far back does this go in marriages? Oh, no. It goes back to Bereshit in the beginning. Adam and Eve, that's right. Adam and Eve were in the idyllic Garden of Eden. God communed with them and blessed them. Friends, it was perfection in the garden. They were told merely not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. Don't eat from, do partake of what you want. Enjoy yourself in the garden that I created for your pleasure, really. Just don't eat from the one tree. That's it. Just don't eat from the one tree. And so being human beings, what did they do? They ate from the one tree. Of course, they ate it. They ate it. Not good. Obviously, not good. What did they say? Here's the interesting thing. I mean, it's considered the second sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. So they ate the fruit. And then Adonai Elohim, the Lord God, called to the man and he said to him, where are you? Then Adam said, your sound, I heard it in the garden and I was afraid because I'm naked. I hid myself. Then God said, who told you you're naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. Adonai Elohim said to the woman, what did you do? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Okay, I want you to pick up on a couple of things that happened here. Now, I want to take them in reverse order. First, let me talk about Eve for just a minute. Eve was quick. Eve was crystal clear. Eve said, "The devil made me do it." That's what she said. Like, literally, "The devil made me do it." She blamed the serpent. Blame the serpents. She doesn't fully own it. She passes the buck immediately. It's the devil's fault. We too oftentimes blame the adversary for that which is in our hearts. Oh boy, yeah. Sometimes when we blame, especially if we blame the adversary, it's oftentimes because we as believers sometimes don't like to think of ourselves as being someone who would do something that's wrong. And so in order to preserve our own self-image, we put the blame on the devil. And so in doing so, it's the devil's fault. I'm kind of innocent. You know, I'm doing my best. It really wasn't my fault. It was the devil's fault. The devil made me do it. Basically, we don't say it exactly in those terms, but this is what we do. And it eschews the responsibility some. It places the responsibility more on the devil than on yourself. You see this all too often, even in believing circles. But as impressively bad as this is, Adam does her one better. How so? What does he say? Listen carefully to his response. When God asked him, "Did you eat from the tree?" Adam said, the woman you gave to be with me." Man, this was a doozy of an answer. This was a doozy. Remember, God's question was a yes, no question. "Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from?" That was the question. Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? The answer is yes or no. That's the answer. It's a yes, no question. And his answer, "The woman gave it to me." The woman gave it to me. First, let's blame Eve. Yeah. Putting the blame on her. It's her fault. It's not my fault. It's her fault. I see this in marriages all too often, friends. Why aren't you doing things right within your marriage here? Or it could be a friend relationship, whatever it is. Well, really, Rabbi, it's her fault. Rabbi, it's really his fault. Oh, no, but I just asked you why you were doing this or weren't doing this. Well, it's their fault. Who can blame me? I mean, you heard what they said a few minutes ago or what they've done. Who can really blame me for what I've done? Okay. Wow, that's some serious justification, friends. You've heard this expression, two wrongs don't make a right. What they do, the other person in any relationship of any kind, what they do is their responsibility. But what you do is your responsibility. Don't blame them. You did it. Own your own behavior and actions. God will deal with them in their own way and in his way. What he does with them is above your pay grade, right? Your responsibility is yourself to do right as unto the Lord with your spouse or with your friend or with your relative, whoever it is. And friends, in general, I see this, is that we're often blaming others. People, I was talking last night after the service, we have one professional counselor that has been a professional counselor for 30 years, and another person who is finishing their degree to become a counselor. And they both came running up to me right after the service last night and said, "Rabbi," the one who's 30 years counselor said, "Rabbi, Every day in my practice, I see this. Every day, I see this. People blaming others. Here's a bonus quote from Rabbi Robert. It's a bonus quote, okay? So I'm not charging for the second quote, okay? This is totally bonus. But one of the things that Rabbi Robert used to say is, whenever you point a finger at someone else, you have multiple fingers pointing right back at you. You see that? You point a finger at somebody else. You remember when he used to say that, don't you, Alyssa? You have multiple fingers pointing right back at you. I see it all the time, friends. Well, you don't know what my coworker said to me. Well, yes, I heard all this juicy gossip, but I didn't add to the gossip. I didn't say anything. I was just listening. Oh, that makes it okay. I see. Okay, it's not really your fault. I see. Give me a break. Well, my wife didn't want to go to services, get up and go to services, so I didn't either. Do you see the subtlety that's going on here? Well, my boss told me to doctor the books a little bit. Well, you know, I didn't want my kids not to like me, so I didn't discipline them as much. Oh, okay. Well, my boss was threatened by my intelligence. That's why I didn't get the promotion. Oh, okay. You know what this reminds me of a little bit? Any of you who have children or had children when they were younger, you remember, you know, when you'd say, why did you do this? Well, she started it. Oh, you all know what I'm talking about, right? Well, he started it. You know, that's what this, and hold on, no. Did you just do what you just did? Well, he immediately the finger comes out. They started it. Well, and we look at that and we say, oh, childish behavior. Wow, trying to blame somebody else for something that you did. Blame. And it's like, hey, childish behavior. We're children of God. He looks down and he sees us blaming all the time. And looks down and says, oh, man, come on. Not good. Well, okay, then I guess it's not your fault at all. Great job at shifting the blame. As if that's not enough. I told you what Adam said was a doozy, y'all. As if that was not enough. Beyond this, Adam says, as a matter of fact, it is the woman that you gave to be with me that gave me the fruit, and I ate it. So really, I mean, it's not subtle. It's pretty direct. Really, you asking me? God, it's your fault. You gave me this woman. It's the woman you gave me. It was a yes, no question. Did you eat the fruit? Yes or no? No. This is not how Adam answers it. He double blames. He shifts the responsibility and the blame to two different, his wife and then God himself. He blames God. This is overt. The woman that you gave me, why do you even need to mention that? You're mentioning that because you're trying to shift some of the blame. Right? This is also what I see all too often. And I'll tell you how I see it. It's a little bit more subtle than direct. People don't directly blame God, but this is how they do it backdoor. Sometimes somebody doesn't do what they should, and then something happens, and they say, well, I guess it just must not have been God's will. Must not have been God's will. Listen, I get that sometimes things happen because we're in a fallen world. I get that. And I also understand the fact that there are a lot of things in this world that I just don't understand. And sometimes things happen that are truly out of our control and that we didn't cause. I'm not diminishing that at all. That is very, very true. But beloved, if you smoke for 35 years, it's not that it was God's will for you to get lung cancer. Sorry. It's that you chose to smoke for 35 years when you knew better. That's why you got lung cancer. Right? Don't blame God. Somebody is late to an interview and doesn't get the job. Well, I didn't get the job. It must not have been the Lord's will. Baloney. It was exactly his will. And you blew it. He got you the interview. And he was going to bless you with a great job, but you didn't do your part. You chose to be late for the interview that God set up for you. You did it. Don't blame God. Well, it must not have been God's will. No. You're pulling an Adam, blaming God for what you did. Hello. You got quiet on me, man. I'm telling you. Woo! Friends, in short, personal responsibility is simply taking responsibility for yourself and your own actions. The word, beloved, is lay your hand on the head of the Lamb. You know, in the time of the temple sacrifice, when someone sinned and they brought their sacrifice to the altar, they had to lay their hand on the head of that animal that was being slain and taking their place, because that was the penalty. Death was the penalty for their sin. And they own it by putting their hand on the head of that animal who is being slain because of what they did. It's pretty deep. This is what we need to do more and more, my friends. I don't say this all to condemn you. Friends, I say this to free you. I say this to liberate you. I say this to help give you victory in your life. Why? Because, friends, you can only grow if we own it and admit our mistakes. Otherwise, if we're constantly blaming, finger pointing, it's going to stymie our spiritual growth. And we're going to keep doing what we've been doing before because we think we have nothing to adjust within ourselves. Friends, if you own it and you move forward with it, the Lord will forgive you. Repent, He'll forgive you. The Lord will even be merciful upon you, but He will be less merciful upon you if you blame Him for your mistakes. Or if you blame the devil, or if you blame the situation, or if you blame others, blame. He is very merciful. God loves you. You know, if you have children and the kid comes to you, right? And the kid's got chocolate all over his face. And you say, "Did you eat the cookie? Did you eat the cookie? What cookie? What cookie? The cookie I told you not to eat. Did you eat the cookie?" What cookie? First, there's denial, right? Denial. No, I didn't eat cookie. Didn't eat cookie. What? You didn't eat the cookie. No, I didn't eat the cookie. What's the chocolate all over your face? My sister gave me the cookie. I think it was her cookie, actually. She gave me her cookie. She was sure she did. This is just like Adam, right? It's like Adam and Eve. If you're a parent, if you get the kid that ate the cookie you told him not to eat, that's bad, and they'll be disciplined. But then the kid boldface lies to your face once, twice. "No, I didn't eat it. No, my sister gave it to you." Blaming others. Then the discipline is more severe because you've just double, tripled up. You've compounded your sin and your disobedience. Y'all, doesn't it make sense with God? Friends, it is to your benefit not to blame. It is to your benefit to own, because when God looks down and says, "Hey, you know, did you do?" Oh man, you get convicted. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Oh, don't point the finger. "Oh, it wasn't because of her. It wasn't because of him. It wasn't because of the situation. It wasn't because of the devil. It wasn't because of you, God. It was because of me." Oh, okay. I can work with that. God looks down and says, "Okay, I can work with that. I forgive you. You know, good for you. I forgive you. Don't do it again." But wow, I can work with that kind of attitude. I can work with that. Mm-mm-mm. Friends, everybody comes from difficult situations in one way or another. Everybody has some level of baggage. I'm not implying that it's easy. I readily admit that you had no control over, for example, not having a father growing up. I get that. It makes things difficult for you even today. I completely buy it. However, at the end of the day, even though it may be more difficult for you than for someone who did have a dad growing up, you still nonetheless have a choice as to what kind of person you're going to be. And if you wallow in the blame game, you will not look to change and improve yourself now, today. Please understand, I'm not suggesting that we don't have to deal with past hurt, pains, and issues from our past. We do. However, we as believers can't be bound by our past. See, this is what the Lord sets us free from, is our past. The old saying goes, if the world gives you lemons, make lemonade. However, it's not the attitude of many people, even many believers. Listen, I'm not diminishing the fact that some of you have received lemons. It doesn't seem fair sometimes in life, and I'm going to let you in on a little something. It isn't fair. However, how you react will determine the rest of your life from whatever lemons you had. How you move forward, right, from this day forward, not backwards. Many people try to drive their car, and they're always blaming things in their past. So they try to drive their car only looking in the rearview mirror. Friends, if you drive your car only looking in the rearview mirror, I guarantee you, you're going to get in some accidents. If you only look in the rearview mirror, but that's how many people live. Importantly, friends, Adam and Eve were given a choice. No one forced them to sin. You know, and that's what makes us unique in God's creation. We all have a choice. People sometimes are angry at God for the state of the world. I hear that sometimes, but he's not to blame. These are our choices as mankind. Don't blame God. Man makes horrible choices, and that's why there's terrible things in the world oftentimes. Now, friends, yes, does the devil bring evil into the world, tempt people to make bad choices? For sure he does. For sure he does. But you see, there's an encouragement in that as well. Why? Because we have the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You see, if you understand 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm telling you, friends, woo, it should encourage you. It should encourage you. At the same time, it should sober you. Why? Let's read it, and you'll understand and how it relates to the blame game. Whew, it's very powerful passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, therefore, let the one who thinks that he stands watch out that he doesn't fall. No temptation has taken hold of you except for what is common to mankind, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so you will be able to endure it. Okay, friends, this should both encourage you and also sober you at the same time. Friends, you should be sober because if you think you're doing okay, Scripture says you need to watch out. Don't ever have a disproportionate overconfidence. No, we're confident in him, but we have to watch out. If you think you stand, it says watch out so you don't fall. Okay, be careful. Why? Because don't underestimate your adversary. He'll take you out if he can, and he will probe to see if he can find weakness. Is this a weakness? Is this a weakness? Is anger a weakness? Is pornography a weakness? Is alcohol a weakness? What is the weakness? What is the weak? Where can I probe to find? I'm going to try to tempt this person, this man, this woman, right? And so you have to be on guard for sure. But at the same time, the passage also reveals to us that we truly never have space to blame. This scripture precludes us blaming. Why? Because God tells us that he is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. Somebody say, praise God. Mm-hmm. See, this leaves us with no room to blame. God says he will always provide an exit, always provide a way of escape. He will not tempt you beyond what you can handle. This leaves us no room to blame. It was because of him. It was because of her. It was because of the situation. It was because of the devil. It was because of God. No. You can handle any temptation. Why? Because God is faithful and he'll provide a way of escape. There is a choice. You have a choice as to how you respond. You have a choice. You have to take that choice to resist that temptation. Note here, yes, you can and will be tempted, though. Understand, being tempted is not sin. Yeshua himself was tempted. Giving into that temptation is sin. Brothers and sisters, you will be tempted. Also note that it says you may have to endure it. He will give you an escape so that you can endure it. Sometimes you got to endure it a little bit, but you want to escape it as quickly as possible. And it will not be beyond what you can handle. So unlike what Geraldine used to say, the devil made me do it. Nope, the devil did not make you do it. You did it. The devil might have tempted you to do it, but you chose to do it. Right? This is an incredibly important nuance that I'm going to tell you. If you start to get this into your spirit more and more, it will change your life. And that's why this is great news, Mishpachai. It really is great news because it makes it clear that if we truly, truly seek to follow him, then we will blame others less. The devil made me to know. The devil didn't make you did it. You did it yourself. And if we blame less, much like our God, we will become more blameless. The title of my message is Blame Less. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart. If that's you, then why not today say yes to him? If you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, but you want to, lift your hand and we'll have a simple prayer. If you've never given your life to God, but you want to, never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah, but you want to, just lift your hand and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand, Mishpacha. I just want to pray for us all that we will stop playing the blame game. Just kind of close your eyes and receive this prayer, and you within yourself, pray to the Lord that he will help you not blame others, blame situations, blame him. Lord, in the name of Yeshua, I pray for each and every person here, God. I pray that we cease and desist from the blame game. Lord, that we don't look to point our finger at others or at situations, Lord, but rather our hearts, Lord, we seek for them to become pure before you, Lord. And we seek to repent when we do wrong and then change our ways. Lord, help us in the name of Yeshua, not blame. Lord, let us blame less, Lord, because that's more like you. Lord God, you would want that for us, God. Because if we do this, our lives are going to be changed for the better, and you will be more merciful upon us. You'll be more kind to us. You'll be more forgiving, more generous to us. You'll bless us more, God, if we blame less. So, Lord, I pray for our congregation in this way, and I thank you for it, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.